Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another show. Remember last time I said Suku's a bit shh. It's official. Babs is taking over for Suku. There have been complaints about the homie as well, so we've got Babala to take over. What up, Babs?
Pew, 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 pew. It's new talent on the show. I'm happy to be here. I thought I would take over because your man's has been problematic. And since I started listening to the pod, I've been learning stuff about basketball. So I thought I'd like come in and give my opinion about the Washed King.
Yes. So you're gonna hit us with a young intro as well.
Yeah. So welcome to episode 1 of season 2.
Yes.
Of RCL Beyond the Arc.
Yes.
With Ricolo.
Yes.
I'm really excited to be here. I'm such a fan. Yeah. So I was watching the game yesterday morning.
Which game is this?
I was watching the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I was also watching Trailblazers. First, I was watching the Trailblazers game. Trailblazers against Brooklyn. Yes, it was. So Trailblazers against Brooklyn. And then we watched, I watched the Lakers game.
Yeah.
And Dame, that's his name, yes. From the Trailblazers.
Yes.
He's from, what is it, Colorado?
Portland.
Yeah.
We still have a lot of teaching to do.
I'm learning.
At least he's watching the game.
But
like somewhere else.
That guy was able to score 60 points in one game.
Right?
And
how
like,
amazing
was
that?
Dude, like, it was amazing. And the game was so fast-paced. Like, it was such a dope game. Like, each quarter,
like,
ended before you were ready for it to end, which was really dope.
That's the amazing part.
It's yeah.
Like, when you're watching
really
the game,
dope.
It's literally, it takes like 2.5 hours where it doesn't feel like...
Dude, it doesn't feel like
doesn't
it at
feel
all.
Like
it was
game,
super dope. And then we switched over, I switched over to the Lakers game, and the pace was so slow. And I mean, I was watching Anthony Davis and LeBron do...
King James.
What looked like the least. And I mean... Like, Washed King, like, he's meant to be a big deal, but together, him and Anthony Davis were only able to score, 51 points in the whole game?
That's a lot!
Dude, but, like, Dame did 60 points in one game, so,
that's
like, who's really the
but
king?
But who won, though? Who won the game?
Trailblazers.
They lost.
Oh, no, yes, they did lose.
Yeah.
It was the Nets, but they came through, like, in the last, like, few minutes.
Yeah.
But, like... Trailblazers did an amazing job. I was actually rooting for them, and I'm a Nets girl.
Oh no! What?
Yes.
Okay, Suga and I need to talk about that.
Huh? Jay-Z, because Jay-Z.
Oh yeah, you support the family business.
Yeah, family business.
Oh,
the Carters.
Oh, Jay-Z left the Nets.
Yeah. Oh, but I didn't know that. I didn't have that information. Sugu is slacking on the job.
He needs to do a better job.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for sending in for Sugu. We're going to have you on the show a little bit more, so you need to come drop some more knowledge.
Yeah, let me watch some more games at 4 a.m. in the morning. And then I'll come through.
Look,
with more
but the
knowledge.
Cool thing is ETV is broadcasting now, so like more people will be able to watch more basketball games. So
that's really that's amazing for like the everyday South African.
Yeah.
I don't have a TV. I'm not the everyday South African. I stream everything.
I know.
But it's really awesome
everything.
That they're making it accessible to
so dope for the game though.
Exactly. Especially for the kids. Because I know there's a lot of kids who like play basketball in the hood.
100%.
Like, and that's going to be really, really dope. And hopefully they actually can turn more netball courts into basketball courts.
Yes. We have converted one person. Mama, we made it.
This is why I said what I said and why I've been called problematic.
See? Okay, looks like Bob's just unchained Suku. He's back. Thank you so much, Bob's. You're amazing.
Thanks, Grof.
Oh wow, that was such a different start from what we usually do in the podcast, but that was a cool start as well. Bob's looks like she's been doing this for years as well.
Yeah, she comes from a radio background.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, if you stop hearing Suku on the podcast, now you know why. Bob's might just actually take Suku's spot.
Nah, bro, I'm not going anywhere. Fuck that shit. I'll be here forever.
Thank goodness this show has parental guidance, because Suku just dropped the F-bomb.
Hey, man, it's basketball. Guys have said worse things on the courts.
True story.
Anyway,
before we get into anything, right?
Before, you know, we had a grand, introduction, we kind of switched things around.
Yes.
Gotta keep tradition going.
Oh, snap. The way I almost
before
forgot
we,
about
before
tradition.
Before we get into anything, we're actually gonna
need to pop some new wines.
Exactly. We're actually going to dedicate this toast to the Josie Nuggets for almost making it into the Basketball Africa. Shout out to them, though.
Yeah. Shout out. Apparently, they hosted a dope tournament as well to determine who's going to make it to the next round of the qualification round. Nice. So shout out to the Jersey Nuggets. Better luck next year. Hopefully, that'll pique more interest in basketball from youngsters. More people will get involved in the game, and you know, maybe government will throw in some more cash into the game as well.
Yeah, I think also, as you guys mentioned, I mean, I think the game coming to ETV will be great. I think it'll be nice if they can also maybe do some delayed live games.
Yeah, because of the time difference.
Exactly.
And also, maybe also like some PNL games, you know, maybe one or two ETV, just to cover a couple
and
of the homies.
Definitely the Africa League once that pops off.
Oh, dude, Africa League is going to be so huge for the game. I think also what we probably have to do is also be responsible and, you know, cover the game in South Africa a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, the season just ended. We just maybe need to maybe start looking at that a bit more.
Yeah.
Just start paying more attention, getting more involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, just paying out the right people to
holler for that. Yeah. But if you do want to learn more about the game locally, our homie Manyakisa has got an Instagram page called BTO Sports. He covers a lot of basketball. Has a crazy load of basketball content. So he even does like high school games, high school tournaments. So he's all over the place when it comes to like
the handle.
BTO Sports.
BTO Sports.
Yeah, search for BTO Sports on Instagram. I think he's on Facebook and Twitter as well. So let's show homie and show the game locally some love. And obviously on the continent, you know, we'll definitely make sure we represent on all fronts from now on.
Yep. Speaking of the continent.
Watch Kings
all day. Speaking of the continent,
yeah,
you know, he's a distant relative of the continent,
yeah,
but he's been coming through with some new stuff this year.
Ooh, are you talking about the homie Pascal?
Giannis, bro.
Are you talking about Giannis?
Well, we'll get to Pascal.
We'll get to Pascal. Okay.
Let's talk about the Greek god first.
Look, the fact that we had to kind of clarify which one the homies is killing it. That means you know, we're doing quite well on the continent. All right, so what you loving about Giannis this year?
Dude, that guy's pulling up from three.
Yeah. that's dangerous for the whole league.
Bro, like, I know he's not, like, sinking them on a regular, but the fact that he's doing that right now.
Yeah.
Has got me, like, oof. Yeah. I mean, I remember last season we had this debate about who's going to be the MVP this year and, like, whether he deserved it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he did. And I think what I like is that he clearly put in work in the gym and he's coming through.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's basically like a triple double threat now, which is nice.
Yeah. I think for me the biggest thing is, you know, the two guys in the league who, if these two guys develop a 3-pointer, then you know the rest of the league is in trouble. And it's always been him and Ben Simmons.
Yep.
So Ben Simmons
just gets a jump shot.
just to start, right? Yeah. Yeah, so I think once Ben develops a 3-pointer as well, he'll also be dangerous. Mm. But the thing is, like, Giannis is pretty much unstoppable unless you put like four guys in front of him when he drives to the basket. So the fact that he's got a 3-pointer is yo, dog.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story. I still think the Bucks need to surround him with more shooters.
Definitely.
Because that'll definitely open up the floor a bit more.
Yeah.
Make his drive to the basket a bit easier as well. I don't know if you saw the game. I think they were playing the Jazz the other night. And I think they lost that game.
Yeah.
But I think they scored like 35 points in the first half or something something low like that. And then Giannis had scored one field goal.
Yes.
Dude, and then by the end of the game, he had like 34 points.
Yeah.
So it just shows, like, you know, when that dude is on fire, like, he's pretty much unstoppable.
Mm.
And once he develops, like, once his 3-point is like consistent and on point all the time, then he's going to be a whole other beast to deal with.
Yeah, I think what I like about him as well is his attitude. Like, he's not here to be buddy-buddy with like anybody. Like, he's not that guy who's hanging on with everyone during the off season. He's like, nah, I'm trying to destroy you guys. I'm not going to act like I'm your friend. Like, he's got that old school kind of mentality, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is, like, I think the other day we had a debate about him and Kawhi. I think we were debating LeBron and Kawhi or whoever it is, but I think Giannis was part of the conversation. The funny thing about Kawhi and Giannis is that they both actually do workout sessions with, you know, the Mamba.
Yeah. Yep.
So obviously, like, you can see how some of Kawhi's mentality is like seeping through. Because, like you mentioned, like, Kawhi is pretty much the same as Giannis. Like, he doesn't care about, like, you know, being buddy buddy. Like, he's obviously cool with everyone else, just like Shana says. But he's not all about like, oh, let me be cool with this guy. Let me cool, maybe be cool with
like,
that guy.
They're not gonna go on holiday together. They're not gonna post up together.
Yeah, yeah. He's all about spending time with his family and and. Also, just to be clear, we're not hating on any other player that loves hanging out with other players.
Yeah, of course. Of
it's
course.
Different strokes with different folks, and that's what's cool. It's like people are different, but they're all excelling at the sport.
But I think just like going back to like what the what basketball was as it was building, especially because I think like, I mean, we'll all like, I think basketball in the 90s was the was what it was because he had Jordan and because there was that rivalry and because just that
Gary Payton.
Exactly.
Malone, all those guys.
Exactly. I mean, like so many guys didn't get a ring because of Jordan. And that's crazy.
Yeah. That's his best friend didn't get a ring because of him.
Exactly. So like that says a lot about him, which is cool.
Yeah. And I think it's also because of, I think it's maybe because of the generation that we're living in now, where everyone's just like cool.
Social media,
everyone.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think it happens across like all the different sports. You know, for instance, in Formula One, Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel are cool.
Dude, Lewis Hamilton. There's a Tommy Hilfiger sponsorship. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, like Michael Schumacher would never get that.
Nah. But Lewis is probably the only Formula One guy in history who'd
of
ever.
Course,
maybe James Hunt. James Hunt, if you don't know him, he was like the bad boy of Formula One. But that's a conversation for another day. So the two people who are actually probably like holding it down. And also maybe just because of their different personalities is like Messi and Ronaldo are the best in the world. Yeah. But they don't like. They respect each other, but there's still that nice rivalry between the two of them, where it's like, okay, I'm gonna show you who's boss, I'm gonna show you who's better, without them necessarily being friends.
Yeah.
So bringing it back to basketball and the other guy who's killing it. I mean, we just spoke about Kawhi now. I mean, everyone was talking about the fact that now that Kawhi's gone, what's gonna happen to the Raptors? And the Raptors are doing fine, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
they're 6-2 right now. Yeah.
I think what was quite kind of nice about what happened last year is you kind of saw, even though Kawhi was still in the team, and I think the load management helped a little bit. As you saw, like even when Kawhi was in load management, Pascal Siakam kind of like stepped up in some of those games to help lead them to victory. And that's carrying on into this season, you know? So I think it's actually cool to see him like carrying on and still being on top of his game.
Because I think last year he kind of was probably easily by far the most improved player.
Yeah.
And this year he's even stepped it up again. So it's like, and it's also, I think it's also got to be a testament to the coach and just everything that they've done there.
Yeah.
At the Toronto Raptors, I think they've been building quietly.
Yeah.
And there's like a nice multicultural vibe because they're a reflection of their city.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Nurse has done that. I think Dwayne Casey kicked things off quite nicely
of course,
there. And Nick Nurse has done a good job of like stepping in and not like putting his imprint on the team, but without changing the culture of the team too much. And seeing guys like Pascal step up has been super dope.
A lot of young talent, which is good. Yeah.
A lot of young talent, dog. I mean, Fred Van Vliet. One more thing I want to say before we move on from the backs is, do you not think that those homies are missing Malcolm Brogdon so much, dog?
Heavy.
Yo.
Because they never replaced him properly.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a pity that they didn't offer him more money or try to keep him. I'm actually not 100% sure what the story is. But I think Malcolm Brogdon, for me, I would rather have him than Eric Bledsoe, if I'm honest. But he plays good D, and he can have like a good game every now and again.
True.
Whereas like Eric Bledsoe is like, he's okay on defense and he's not as consistent. I think probably Brogdon is a little more consistent offensively, and that's what you need.
But I think Eric Bledsoe has those moments where he can be like a, like, even though he's like a small dude, he's still quite tough.
Yeah.
And I think for that, he's still cool. And I guess he's like a bit of a veteran at this point of his career, so yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Go for it.
So you want to talk about your homie Kyrie?
I'd rather talk about the team he left first.
Celtics.
The Celtics are the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, it's very early days.
Yeah.
But like, they've been playing some great ball. Shout out to Kemba Walker. Shout out to everyone there. I mean, it's unfortunate that Gordon Hayward just went down with a broken hand himself.
Oh man. The thing about the Gordon Hayward thing is like, I don't know if you've been following like his last few games.
Yeah, he's been doing very well.
But he was pretty much averaging close to a triple-double every night.
Because they all move the ball so well. Like, I mean, Kemba will have 6 assists. Hayward will have like 7.
Yeah.
Brown will have like 8, and then it's beautiful to see. Yeah.
And like even his shooting percentage had gone up. Like his consistency, his conversions were better. So I think that like broken hand literally came at the worst time possible, and like the whole team was starting to click so well.
Yeah.
And I think Jaylen Brown had also just come back from injury.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean the nice thing about that Celtics team is that team has a certain DNA, and you could see how even if you take one player out, it's easy to plug in another player, and then the way the play and the way that consistency, will still carry on with you know the players that come in. It's kind of like Man City.
Exactly.
Or Liverpool.
Let's not talk about that. But yeah, no, Celtics been playing well.
And do you think that Kemba Walker has? I mean, you saw obviously. We're speaking about it earlier. How Kyrie came into the team, and when Kyrie was in the team, like you know, they lost him for those playoff games.
Yeah.
And the Celtics did well. They actually had a deep run in the playoffs without Kyrie. And when he came back the next year, the chemistry of the team just seemed to be completely off. And then now you've got Kemba Walker in the team, and he just seems to add a nicer balance to the team.
Yeah, I think Kyrie was too hungry when he left the Cavs. He wanted to prove that he can do it on his own. Like he wanted to prove that he's the main guy. And I think that affected the way, I think that kind of affected what they wanted from him. Because I think also Kemba Walker, just his personality and who he is, he's a well-balanced point guard.
Yeah.
Whereas Kyrie can be a bit ball dominant. I think in that situation, it almost felt like he didn't trust his teammates when the guys were around him are just as good. Because it almost felt like what would happen because he dominates the ball so much is everyone just stands around because there's no point in making, like there was no one making slash runs. There was no one kind of cutting towards the hoop because they felt like even if they do that, they're not going to get the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it towards the end of their playoff run where Kyrie was just shooting. And it's like, bro, come on. Like, you got a lot of guys on the team that are there.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I mean, even like they lost Kyrie and Al Horford, but they're still kind of able to produce some good quality basketball.
Yeah, they keep on keeping on.
Yeah, because I think they've gotten back to what Brad Stevens wanted for the team as far as the personality goes. Because I think they had that with Isaiah Thomas. Because Isaiah Thomas was the team guy.
Yeah.
So I think now with Kemba Walker, they've got someone similar. They've got someone, and I think also for the city of Boston, because they have a certain personality.
Yeah.
So sometimes your team has to almost be like a team for the city. And I think because Boston have had like a resurgence in the last 5-6 years, it's good to have Kemba kind of just there to kind of almost like revive them again. But let's see how it goes. I mean, Philly's probably still the favorites, but it's nice to see these teams coming up.
100%. And then do you think that kind of... So you were saying like at the end, right? Kyrie was just shooting shots, not passing to his teammates. Do you think that comes down to... Because even when Kemba was at Charlotte, right? When he was at the Hornets, he used to have nights where he put up 30 shots, maybe 25 shots a night. Do you think that comes down to the people that are around you? Is it about trusting the people that you're with, or is it just like knowing that if I'm playing with Danny Green and I throw the ball to Danny Green, he'll make the shot, versus passing the ball to another player and you're like, if I throw the ball to that dude, like chances are, even if he's open, like three pointers aren't his thing.
I think I'm gonna ask an unfair question.
Yeah.
But like, name two of Kemba Walker's teammates at the Hornets.
I really like Nicholas Batum. Okay. So I remember Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a great player. I just remember him because he's super tall.
Yeah.
There's another homie called Cody Zeller. I don't think he's still with the Hornets.
Yeah, I remember him as well.
Yeah.
But like, see, that's the thing is that you see with the Celtics, I mean, obviously this also goes to how games are televised.
Yeah.
But Celtics, their talent pool
is deeper.
Is a lot more deeper than what the Hornets were. Yeah. I mean, like, if we're honest about it.
Yeah.
Like, the Hornets, they had some good players until Kemba had to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like if Kyrie was at
every night,
he'd have to do that. He'd also have to be that guy.
Yeah.
But when you add a team that has Gordon Hayward, that has Jason Tatum, that has Jaylen Brown, that has Al Horford, that has Marcus Smart, at that time they even had Terry
Rozier.
Yeah. So they had Terry Rozier. They had a lot of talent. Like it almost felt like they had too much talent.
Yeah.
Like at the time, and I think I think because Kyrie was playing the way he played, it kind of just was like, dude, you've got all of this talent around you. It's like, imagine if like Ben Simmons just did that at the 76ers.
Yeah.
Then what's the point of having Embiid? What's the point of having Redick? What's the point of having Butler? So it's like, so for me, it's kind of just like one of those things. Yeah.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I think like you said,
and this is not a knock to Kyrie Irving. He's still a great player, but I just think, I mean, he even came out and admitted it that he wasn't in the right mental state for a lot of the times. So he just wasn't mentally where he should have been.
So. Yeah, yeah. And now he's at a team where he can actually trust some of the people that he plays with.
Yeah, plus I think he's learned. I mean, he said it at some time last year that he almost like had to call LeBron and apologize because he thought it was easy when it's not.
Leading
a team is no joke.
Like, looking at some of his interactions with LeBron, I actually thought that he would have ended up at the Lakers and not necessarily the Nets at some point.
That looked like a possibility, but I'm glad it didn't go that way.
I'm glad he didn't go to the Lakers. Not because I don't want him at the Lakers, but because of where the league is now and how much more interesting it is having all the duos in the league.
Yeah.
Speaking of another duo, right, and I think they're probably not the most highly rated duo in the league right now, but Devin Booker and Ricky Rubio make an interesting combo for me.
Yeah, the giant killers, bro.
The giant killers.
Yeah, they've been slaying teams.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I feel like having someone like Ricky Rubio there, and I mean, I pretty much thought things would work out because remember at some point, Alfred Payton was at the Suns.
Yeah.
But I think he was injured all the time. But I think he went on the streak at some point where he averaged like a triple double for like three games. We had a triple double for three games in a row. I think it was something Michael Jordan had done. I can't remember what it was, but it was a cool stat like that. Anyway, I thought like that might help Devin Booker a bit more because he doesn't always have to facilitate the play. He doesn't always have to be the one that's creating shots for himself and his teammate.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think having someone like Ricky Rubio, who's probably a bit more experienced than Alfred Payton, still offers the same kind of like...
He's a good veteran, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good veteran. So I think that combo is interesting. I mean, I think... Ricky Rubio is probably slightly better at shooting than Alfred Payton, so that definitely helps. And he's, you know, he's a pass first, you know, point guard.
Exactly.
He always goes for defensive for rebounds. He's good on D. So I think actually that's actually been like helped relieve some of the pressure from Devin Booker.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think, I mean, as you said, his experience and just being a pass first kind of guy, and he's like a proper playmaker as Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
So I think for all those reasons, he's perfect for the Suns because they're a very young team. So I think bringing someone like him on board was so good for them.
And I mean, I think they also have a third decent player who's also quite decent. That's Kelly Oubre Jr. I think he's probably, for me, he's one of the most underrated players at the moment because of what he brings and what he does for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously going to be hard to have like great stats every night when you're playing with Devin Booker because he puts up so many shots. But when he does like put in the show, like his efficiency is amazing. He grabs rebounds and he's not too bad on the assist side. So I think Kelly Oubre helps round them out even better.
Definitely.
And they've also got DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah,
who's still coming up at center. Phoenix is actually an interesting prospect right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for the longest time the franchise was just lost. They didn't know what they were doing, but I think now they're starting to come into it. I mean, I don't think they're gonna challenge or anything just yet.
Yeah.
Like, I think for them, making the playoffs would be like a huge achievement for them, especially with everything that they've been coming off of.
Oh, for sure.
But it looks like it's not going to be a tanking season. It looks like the only tankers left in New York.
And the Warriors, maybe. So when we opened up the show, Bawalo actually mentioned something interesting, and that was, you know, how crazy Dame went off the other night. You want to talk a little bit about Dame time? I'm gonna get us another round in the meantime.
Bro, Dame, what was crazy watching that game was even though they lost that shot, so he had 50, so he had like 57 points. He was like just dribbling out, whatever. He pulls up from like basically to the left of the logo, and he's like, ugh, you know, it's hell with it. Boom, sinks it. Yeah, they lost. He sunk it for 60 points, career high.
Wow.
And then he just like walked off the court. Like,
wait, was he on 57 before that?
Yeah, he was on 57.
Oh,
the game was lost. He was just kind of dribbling out. Like, no one was really caring.
Yeah.
Just like, whatever. Pulled up, shot, scored.
Was it the laser day? Lackadaisical?
It was lackadaisical. That's what killed him for me. It was just like, wow, bro.
Maybe just throw up the shot and see what happens.
It was just like, whatever. I mean, he'd already been killing it the whole game. It was just like, but then in that moment, I was just like, wow.
That's amazing.
But I was like, but then again, and I could just brought up that thing of like, he does all that, but then they still lose the game.
Yeah.
Because I think CJ, which is just like, had an off night in that game. But then, I guess that goes to a question which you're wondering, though. It's like, Dame is so good. Now they've got a Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
And CJ McCollum, he's good, but he doesn't seem to be as consistent. He doesn't seem like what he offers. He feels like he could offer a bit more.
Yeah.
Feels like they should get like a two-way player in that position. What do you think? Should the Blazers, like, not kind of blow it up yet, like just kind of blow up the whole team, but obviously, I mean, Dame is their franchise guy. They're never going to let Dame go.
Yeah.
But do you think they should start looking to replace CJ, or?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Drew, because I think the toughest question you have to ask if you speak about that is, who do you replace CJ McCollum with?
True.
You know what I mean? I've heard so many people speaking about, like, maybe they should get rid of CJ and Dame, but that's such a heavy rebuild job, you know what I mean?
Never.
And to make things worse, they've paid them so much money as well that they've pretty much like solidified that they're going to trust them for a while.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think the thing with CJ is like, I think he will be more consistent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a tough one because I think I saw the other day he went like 4 of 20 or something, and it was like something ridiculous like that. I think I might be over exaggerating, but the thing is, like, sometimes Dame will have a bad night and he'll step up, so I think those two complement each other quite well. The only thing that sucks for them is that they never both go off on the same night. It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's like CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard never actually like get in tune on the same night. And I think also Hassan Whiteside, they're still learning how to play with him as well.
Exactly.
So yeah, obviously,
they still have Yusuf to come back.
Yeah.
So this is still,
they're still missing Nurkic. Yeah, so yeah. I think, like, for now, I think people probably underestimate. I've heard people talk about a lot of duos in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I think for me, they don't rate that duo high enough. It's funny enough, like, even Steph and Klay aren't being spoken of as a duo as much as.
I think they were until they both just. Because, like, the Warriors had some other luck. But
yeah. Yeah, but I think CJ and Dame just need to be more consistent. The moment they're more consistent, then Dame is probably more consistent than CJ.
Yeah.
But I think that'll definitely help them better. I think for me, like, losing someone like Seth Curry made a big of a difference.
Yeah,
because Kent Bazemore, I think everyone was expecting he's good on the defense end. Mm. He's also good on the offensive end, but I don't think he's been as productive as he was, you know, at the Hawks, for instance.
Mm.
So I think we're still waiting for him to come more to the table in terms of his offense. I think he's probably still finding his role within the team. So I think once that happens, they'll obviously, you know, maybe give CJ and Dame a little more freedom.
Yeah.
And I think they'll definitely help. Like we said, when Yusuf comes back, I think he's a better offensive player than Hassan Whiteside.
Mm.
So I think he'll add another element. So I think the Blazers should keep the core that they have, dude.
But I think what could be interesting for me is, like, I mean, I'm not sure what Devin Booker's situation is, but if he became a free agent, imagine. Or, like, if, I mean, like, this is, like, this is just, like, fantasy stuff. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, then I think the ideal player for them would almost be, like, a Klay Thompson.
Dude.
Because imagine Dame and Klay.
Ooh.
I mean, like, Steph and Klay is one thing, and Dame is probably, like, the closest to
Steph right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it's, like, yo, that could be very interesting. But, I mean, those are just, like hypotheticals.
Yeah. And the thing about Dame is Dame could even play as a shooting guard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how good his shot is.
I mean.
So, even if you got someone, like, I mean, I think we're just throwing out names here, but
of course.
You got like Trey Young to come to, you know what I mean? That would be an interesting development as well. So, yeah, I think
things have happened in basketball.
And you never know. I was about to say, dude, like, I mean, who would have thought that Kawhi Leonard would have gone to Toronto, you know? So, Chris Paul at Oklahoma, you know what I mean? So, anything can happen. So, just because a player is tied down to a team doesn't mean, and I think the Blazers must also be open to, like, if an opportunity comes, you get like a Trae Young or a Devin Booker, or, like, who knows, maybe even Luka has a fight with Mark Cuban and he's like, screw this, I'm leaving Dallas.
Yeah,
like, you have to be ready to go in for this kind of players.
Yeah, because, like, me, with the interesting thing as well is, I think, Portland's good, but the Western Conference is so competitive.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, I mean, like, I think once you make it out the West, you're the favorite by default.
Yes.
It feels like, you know. So yeah. I think and also kudos to Portland. They went to the to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah.
So I think they've got something to build upon. I mean, a lot of people might see it as a flip. Yeah. I mean,
they stay in except by the Warriors, unfortunately.
Of course. But I think it's one of those. I mean, look, now that the Warriors are gone, who's their new man? Who's going to be the stumbling block now?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, look, for me, it just becomes tough, though, because when you have the Blazers going up against the Lakers, for instance, that's going to be a tough matchup. Or the Clippers, that's going to be such a tough matchup.
Denver gave them some problems as well.
You know what I mean? Denver gave them some problems. Or if, you know, once Russell and James, you know, once James stops shooting one-legged three-pointers, you know, like what that's going to look like. So the West is just such a scary place. I mean, even Utah's in the West, right?
Yeah, Utah's in the West.
Like once Mike Connolly, Rudy Gobert, and Donovan Mitchell figure out.
Get there.
You know what I mean? I mean, who knows what the Pelicans are going to look like once Zion comes back.
There's so many dynamics.
So, the West is just, it's so lit. And that's why I was like, props for Kawhi, to Kawhi for saying, like, you know what, I don't care. Like, I'm going back to the Clippers.
Yeah, plus he's an LA boy, so
I mean, I think rumors are that if it wasn't for if Paul George didn't come, he was probably gonna go to the Lakers. I'm hoping that's not true though. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy for me, but anyway, that's a story for a whole other day. Another team I probably would have considered, because it's like you said, it's in San Francisco, which is pretty much the same, not too far from LA, is maybe the Warriors would have been a good fit for someone like Kawhi.
But I think the Warriors there, I think people, like Warriors was the team to get out of the way. Like they were the team with the bullseye on their back.
Yeah.
So I think that's why even the media also played their role in kind of like stirring up the whole, like when KD and Draymond Green had their beef.
Yeah.
Kind of stirring the pot. I mean, you saw in interviews how KD was like, there was all these little things that played a role. But also I think it was the end of an era. I mean, the fact, as you said, that they moved from Oakland to
San Francisco.
And I think this is a new team. And I think part of, it almost feels like the way things are happening with all the injuries, that's part of that.
That transition.
Like, now it's time for you guys to like so like almost like this is like the rebirth of the Warriors.
Yeah, and I suppose you're right. Like even if you're Kawhi as well, you don't have that same tag. KD had where it was like you went to a winning team.
Plus like KD even said like no matter what, that's Steph's team.
Yeah.
So you want to have your own, like Kawhi seems like a guy like I don't think he's egotistical, but it's his team.
Yeah. Same way it was with the Raptors. Okay. And speaking of the Warriors, I mean, you've mentioned that, you know, at some point they had KD out. I mean, not KD, sorry. Had Steph out. Damon Green is still out, I think. Deloading. D'Angelo Russell just came back. Clay is still out. Steph is still out.
Yep.
Is it a bust for them? Do you think they must just call it on this season?
I think it's a bust. I think the West is too competitive. Like, I'm not saying that they must tank or anything.
Yeah.
But I think they don't need to rush back Steph. Like anyone who's injured, they don't need to rush them back.
They mustn't rush Draymond back. They mustn't rush Clay back.
Let these guys kind of sit and chill. And just kind of figure out what you're gonna do. I mean, look, this season, like it's almost like if they were in the East, I'd say that they can still push for something.
Yeah.
But in the West, it's like
The West is so tough, my dude.
Yeah.
And I guess the cool thing is they've also got like some interesting young players as well. I mean, I saw there was a young player the other day who had like a pretty solid game. Eric Peschel.
He's
also just got injured.
Exactly. It's
so ridiculous. Add to that they've completely lost because they've moved. And I think homie retired, hey? The backup point guard.
Livingston.
Oh,
yeah, he's gone.
So retired. Livingston is retired.
And Iguodala left.
Iggy's gone. Even Quinn Cook is gone, so it was like you've lost like a very like four players pretty much from your team last season.
That's why I said the season was always going to be one of like rebirth for them.
Yeah.
So it's.
And chemistry isn't something that you just build over like unless you're LeBron and AD, but chemistry isn't something that you just build over nice.
Because people forget how much time they spend together in the offseason, LeBron and KD.
Yeah. So and AD. And that's the thing that was interesting for me about opening night, right? When the Clippers played the Lakers, I mean, first of all, everyone was like, oh, the Clippers beat the Lakers. They're the best team in, like, you have to win the title to be the best team in the world. You know what I mean? Like, we can't call anyone the best team until they actually win the title. And I know that the Clippers have been playing without Paul George. So it's like, what's gonna happen now? You know, when Paul George comes back, like the Clippers are gonna become an even bigger beast.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, for me, it's like the Lakers have so many new players that it's gonna take some time for them to figure out what their role is, for them to develop some chemistry.
Yeah.
Rajon Rondo still needs to come back, and he's going to make such a big difference to
especially
the team.
Especially
for the second unit, or if he starts, you know, with LeBron and, you know, takes the pressure off LeBron for always having to create shots for everyone. Yeah. So I just think that there's so many dynamics that are going to happen between those two teams as well. I think they'll both get better. It's just who's going to be in better shape come playoff time.
True.
And I think that's when things like coaching and, you know, stuff like that will come in. But that's a story for a whole other day.
Yeah, because I think for now, I think our team is just trying to get momentum. Because I think your first big thing is to see where do teams stand by the time we reach the All-Star break.
Yeah.
That's when you start to know which teams are looking like what and how things are going to pan out.
Yeah.
Because I think now, I think everyone's played about the most 10 games.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost like, for a lot of teams, this is just an extension of the preseason.
Yeah.
So it's like they're still all finding the momentum, still finding their rotations. They're still kind of just getting into the swing. I mean, there's been some great basketball played so far, which is great to see.
Yeah.
But I think it's only going to get better.
Yeah. And then we've spoken a lot about duos, right, in the NBA. Another duo that's actually killing it right now. And like I said, it just seems like certain people just have like a telepathic understanding, connection, whatever you want to call it. And El Matador, Luka Doncic, and the unicorn, Kristaps Porzingis. They just seem to have like that connection. Like they just seem to click. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the other one can really tell what the other one's going to do. And I guess it's like you said, they've spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, because I think it's like they seem to almost have like a friendship outside of the game, which can be important sometimes. And also, I think shout out to the Mavs for just putting together like a solid team as well. I mean, I think they're another team that's probably going to be on the up.
Yeah.
So I think
also in the West.
Exactly.
And we forgot to mention them. And I mean, they've got Seth Curry back in the team as well.
Yeah.
They've got Tim Hardaway Jr., who's quite a decent shooter.
Yeah, he's a good shooter to have on your
team.
They've
got like a pretty decent core at the moment, dude. So it's going to be interesting to see how our Dallas does. And speaking of, I read the article like it was a while back last year. We never actually got to talk about it, right? And back then it was too early to tell, and I think it might still be too early to tell. Is, I mean, if you look at how Trae Young has been playing for the Hawks, and how Luke has been killing it for Dallas, and those two teams basically traded those two players for each other.
Yeah,
who do you think won the trade?
I think it's been good for both teams.
Yeah,
because personally, I think the Hawks, they're at different stages of a rebuild. I mean, the Mavericks won the title in like 2004, I think it was. No, it was later than that.
Ooh.
The Mavs.
Yeah,
the 2007.
Yeah,
it was like 2007.
Yeah. 2011. It was one of the two.
Yeah, it was somewhere there.
Yeah.
So I mean, since then they basically, and like obviously with Dirk leaving last season, they're in the stage of like a rebuild essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So they're. And I think they had some ups and downs, but they're still doing well. I mean, like Rick Carlisle's been holding them down for a while.
Yeah.
That's good. And I think the Hawks getting Trae Young gives them like a nice core to like build around as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Dirk. I would say, and I think player for player, I probably think that it's probably a tie. I mean, I think time will tell as well. Like, we only properly know at the end of their careers.
Look, Luke is nice because he's like a bit of a bigger player. Like, he's that point forward. He's he's that LeBron player.
Yeah.
But Trae Young's so explosive, man.
Trae Young is like pretty much like Seth. I mean, like Steph right now. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, so the way explosive. He balls. Yeah.
And this, and he's also just like a pull-up. Like,
yeah, so he had like 15 assists in the game. Exactly. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah, very, you know, he can shoot the ball from anywhere on the court.
Mm.
So I think player for player, I mean, they're different players, but I think both teams have got decent player who work for their teams.
Exactly.
I'm kind of leaning more towards Luka at the moment,
because
Luka helped them get Kristaps Porzingis. I think he was like a bit of an influencing factor as to why they got. And the nice thing is, like, I mean, the rookie race in the beginning was like, okay, it's not even a competition.
Yeah.
But I think the second half of the season, it's when like Trae Young started coming to life, and it was like, okay, maybe it's not as you know.
It's like I was gunning for Trae. I remember you were gunning for Luka.
Yeah, because unfortunately, like Trae was like too little, too late.
Yeah.
But then when that boy balled, dog, he started balling. Yeah, it was crazy. And then another two players who've been like stirring, you know, things up. Two potential future MVPs actually. So they're gonna be battling on the court and off the court. I think everyone was embroiled in that, you know, in the little brawl between Joel Embiid and Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
And the little Twitter battle that happened on after that. Oh my gosh. Now, what do you even say to that, dog?
Hey, man. Like, Embiid's like a bit of a troll.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I actually enjoyed it. Because sometimes Carl Anthony Towns, he has been, like, I mean, I remember Derrick Rose called him out at the end of last season.
Yeah. I mean, when Derrick Rose calls you out, then you know, dog.
Exactly. Where he was like, you're not, like, you have to work harder for this. Like, you need to fight for this.
Yeah.
Like no one's going to give this to you. You got to go, like you got to put on your big boy pants and take it.
And you can see it, like, in his body language.
Yeah,
as
I think now he's, like, he's, like, a lot hungrier.
Yeah. Like, last year when you saw him, his shoulders would be sagged all the time. Like, he wouldn't seem like someone who's up for a challenge, whereas now he's walking around with a bit of a swagger.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Anthony Davis, just, he's a nice dude, but he's also got that thing, like, if I need to get mean on the court, I will get mean. You know?
I will definitely, I will come for you.
Yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid as well, same demeanor, like, you know, also, like, very chill guy, like, loves making jokes, but when it comes to, like, game time, like, he can be an animal. Yeah. And between those three players, actually, who do you think is going to win the most MVPs and most titles?
Between Embiid, Cat, and?
AD.
AD.
Yeah.
I think AD's he's in the best position right now.
Yeah. And he's probably, like, for me, the best of the three of them at the moment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because AD's got the experience. He's a bit more seasoned.
Yeah. Probably a little more talented on both ends.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with AD. I think AD's going to probably win more. Because I think, I just feel like his skill set and being around LeBron.
His mentality, everything, dude. Like, I think
he's at he's in a position in the city. Like, being at LA, playing for the Lakers, being with LeBron, having a similar management team.
Yes. And it's just about who the Lakers bring in after, you know, once LeBron decides to call it a day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Simmons goes to the Lakers at some point.
Yeah.
Same management team. Exactly. Same relationships. Okay, cool. And then, actually, mentioning Ben Simmons, that was actually my favorite part from that little fight. When they gave me the Kupla Cosby.
I was just like, that just shows the power of wrestling, guys.
Dude, and he was so chilled about it. Like, it was like,
kill me, is like, Kyle Anthony Towns tapped out. He's like, it was like a reflex reaction.
That was amazing. One of the things I saw, though, was Stephen A. Smith talking about how part of, without even being there, like, part of Jimmy Butler kind of influenced that feud, because he also called out Cat, and you know who loves Jimmy Butler more than anyone else? Joel Embiid. Like, he looks up to Jimmy Butler so much, so that makes so much sense. Yeah.